Welcome to the Jesuit Schools Network Ignatian Inquiry Podcast. The JSN seeks to be a supportive resource to our member schools, and this podcast is designed to be just that, a carved out space to listen, learn, and engage with issues that matter to our collective work as Ignatian educators. We're eager to encourage a spirit of inquiry across the many layers of our work in Jesuit education. We envision our particular brand of Ignatian inquiry to be the art of inquiry as seen through our Ignatian lens, asking questions and exploring issues that matter in our schools through the frame of our shared Jesuit mission. On today's episode, we will speak with Cindy Davis, principal of Bellarmine Preparatory School in Tacoma, Washington, and Dr. Kelly Goodsell, president of Bellarmine Preparatory School, who together form the first female president and principal team at Bellarmine, as well as the first female president principal team at a legacy Jesuit school in the JSN. Cindy Davis has been a pivotal figure at Bellarmine Preparatory School in Tacoma, Washington, since 1984, where she currently serves as principal. Over the years, she has filled various roles, including health and PE teacher and department chair, math and science teacher, dean of students and director of student activities, summer school co-principal, and most recently, interim president. Throughout her time at Bellarmine, Cindy has spearheaded many important initiatives. She was instrumental in developing and implementing a school-wide student assistant program, an anti-bullying, harassment, and intimidation policy, and a school acceptable use policy. Cindy also played a key role in rewriting the student handbook. Her leadership extends beyond the classroom, as she has mentored and led numerous Bellarmine and national committees and boards focused on educational advancements, professional development, and policy and procedural practices. Cindy earned her Bachelor of Science degree from Washington State University in 1981, followed by a Master's in Education and Principal's credentials from the University of Washington in 2003. Her dedication to Bellarmine is further evidenced by the fact that all three of her children graduated from Bellarmine Prep. Dr. Kelly Goodsell currently serves as the president of Bellarmine Preparatory School in Tacoma, Washington. Appointed to the presidency in 2023, Dr. Goodsell is the first woman in history to serve in this role. Previously, Dr. Goodsell was the director of Bellarmine's Academic Center of Excellence, a role in which she created, executed, and expanded a multifaceted program offering pathways of scholarship and support to all students. Following her undergraduate degree from Pacific Lutheran University, Dr. Goodsell spent time on an AmeriCorps assignment on the south side of Chicago. She then earned her master's in special education from the University of Oregon, followed by her doctorate from Seattle University in educational leadership with an emphasis in organizational systems design. Additionally, Dr. Goodsell was a Center for Juvenile Justice Reform Fellow at Georgetown University, studying multi-system integration of care for underserved students, and her collaborative work with the multi-system involved youth was honored as a Bright Idea Innovation through the Ash Center at the Harvard Kennedy School for Democratic Governance and Innovation. She also holds a Universal Design for Learning certificate from the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Working with underserved students and families has been an integral part of Dr. Goodsell's work, and she has a deep passion and expertise for college readiness and success. Dr. Goodsell resides in Faircrest, Washington, with her husband and four sons. Dr. Kristen Ross Cully, JSN's Director of Inquiry and New Ventures, joins us for this conversation on such an important topic. Dr. Cully, Dr. Goodsell, and Ms. Davis, welcome to the podcast. How is everyone doing today?
Great, thank you.
It's a happy Friday here on the Hill at Bellarmine Prep.
Cindy and Kelly, we are so thankful for your time today. You know, I think about how busy your offices, your schools, your desks are at this point in the year as we head towards quickly Easter. So thank you for being here. How are you both doing?
Well, looking out my window and looking at all of the trees that are starting to bloom, and it's spring, and we're at that time of the year where you're trying to finish strong and you're preparing for next year. Every educator knows that stretch well, but we're doing really well. It's been an incredible year together.
I would echo what Kelly has shared. It's March in a high school. Spring is a particularly busy time for any school. as we prepare for the next year and really try to celebrate the beautiful things that are happening right now on our campus with our students. It's a blend of those two worlds. So it's busy, but also incredibly exciting.
Terrific. Terrific. So as I listen to your backgrounds there and your bios, as Kristen read them for us, I was thinking about your really long and rich history with Bellarmine Preparatory School. So tell us about your school. How would you explain what's special about your community to someone who's not familiar with it?
Sure. I think one thing that stands out and we often share with our prospective families is we are uniquely positioned in a town called Tacoma, where we are the only Catholic Jesuit school available to our families. We are a working class community. Many of our families that we currently serve, their parents and grandparents attended Bellarmine. So there's a long legacy for the families. I also think that we offer something very unique because we have a community that is both internal and external. We draw upon our faith and this, again, rich tradition of community that allows us to come together and celebrate and support one another when there are challenging times, such as the recent pandemic. I don't think that part is necessarily unique, but the how we did it, I think, is. It was really an incredible effort from all constituencies, all stakeholders, to ensure that our students' needs were met and we were able to serve them in the way they deserved.
Yeah, I would echo so much of what Cindy shared. I think that the essence of Bellarmine is community. There's just a depth and a richness that is really unmatched. That's feedback that I think we both receive all the time. And it comes both from, you know, depending on the year, we serve anywhere between 70 to 75 different zip codes. We're quite diverse as a school in so many ways. And yet we have these deep roots of this working class community in the Puget Sound region. So there's these rich complexities that come with where we are geographically and who we are, like Cindy said, is the only Catholic Jesuit school in the South Puget Sound. But what a beautiful opportunity. And I think one of the defining components of why we've always been such a beacon on the hill is that we've really embraced who we are as a Jesuit school. I always say we're of community and we're for community. And that's really been our story in Tacoma and in the Puget Sound region. So there's the legacy, there's the alums, there's this richness and absolute commitment to Bellarmine. Whether you were here 50 years ago, 60 years ago, or more, your family. But there's also this renewed commitment across the region of students who are new to Bellarmine, experiencing this incredible community. So it really is, I think the first word that comes to mind, and this shows up in our data, this just shows up over and over again, is a depth of community and knowing how to lean in and be together.
You know, I so appreciate hearing that. One of the things that I value just a great deal about my work with the JSN that I'm blessed to do is learning about the diversity of the schools and the backgrounds of the communities and the people in them, you know, that vary so widely across our 91 schools around North America. And just to think about what a gift it is, like the idea of place-based education, you know, and how you're so, Bellarmine's so rooted in your community in the halls of the school, but also around your local setting, like to hear 70 and 75 different zip codes. It's remarkable. So thank you for that. Because I always like, you know, we're going to talk about your own leadership today, but I always just like knowing and being reminded of what a special place you're coming from. So thanks for that. So here we are to March, you know, which is, it is remarkable. I feel like it was just Thanksgiving and here we are looking to Easter, but thinking about the month of March and celebrating women's history as many do in this month, it seems a fitting place to highlight what I would really call the groundbreaking nature of your leadership team together that you form at Bellarmine, you know, thinking of you as the first female president and principal team in your school, as well as what we believe to be among the legacy traditional schools in the network. There are across the JSN 25 women who are serving as principal and 12 women who are serving as presidents of our school. And so, you know, to think about the two of you together as a team, making the first female team at Bellarmine, it's a special thing. So let's begin with just hearing a little bit from both of you. How has being the first, and I say that in quotes, how has it been for you?
It's a little overwhelming. I'm trying to like come up with all the words, you know? So I think I just come from a place of deep humbleness and humility. It's been very positive. It's been honestly overwhelming. I think about some of the alums that are in their 90s in the summer when I was, you know, first moving into the president's office, and some of the first who came to visit me and talk with me. And that was, you know, back when it was an all-boys school, back in the day, very different time in history. And they were so proud that I was the first woman president. And they wanted to know who I was and what the future was going to hold. And they were very proud that we were the first female team. So I think the response has been just really overwhelmingly positive and incredibly supportive. And in many ways, I think that is the Bellarmine way, is we're going to support our leadership, whether it is a male or female. To be able to lead as the first female team, you know, it feels incredibly natural. And I think that's because Cindy and I are both really in integrity with our vocation and what God wants for each of us every day. So what really comes to mind is just how natural it feels. Even on the hard days, I feel a deep sense of calm, confidence, clarity. So, and I think I really believe that comes back to hearing a call, being willing to listen to the journey, knowing that I have an incredible partner where we're in integrity with the partnership, and we're both working really hard to demonstrate what it can look like as a president-principal model when it thrives, not to just exist in it, but thrive within this model. So I bring it back a lot to the gutsiness of being able to be in vocation as a woman leader.
I was hired by Sister Joyce Cox in 1984. And while the title principal wasn't in place, she was essentially just that. So I was fortunate to have a strong female role model at the beginning of my career at Bellarmine. We were only 10 years into a co-ed environment. It was definitely still a strong presence of the maleness was present on our campus. But throughout the years with various leaders in place, I never felt that I couldn't achieve or aspire to a different role, should that be what I was called to do. That in of itself has made an incredible difference in how I've responded to the work. I think I'm in my 10th year of principal. I have had the opportunity to work with Kelly in now two different roles. And I didn't think about the fact that we're both females in these roles until it was pointed out to me. It's not that it doesn't matter. It does matter. That was not what was most important to me. Being in alignment with how we see the mission, how we serve the mission, how we engage in the work, and that we show up every day with a dedication and a passion to serve our students. That remains constant. And as I reflect back over the career here at Bellarmine, it's always been about the mission. We've changed over the years. Education, the landscape of education has shifted. The delivery of instruction has changed significantly. But again, what remains constant is our commitment to serve our own mission and the greater mission of the Society of Jesus. I often reflect, and I have on my desk a prayer called the Ignatian Educator's Prayer. And it reminds me, when I take a moment and actually read it, of the why we are here, why we do what we do every day, especially in those moments when it's difficult, it's challenging. And in that Educator's Prayer, it really points out the importance of developing young men and women for the tomorrow that they inherit. And I'm just so proud to work with an educator, a leader who is deeply passionate about meeting the needs of all of our students, regardless of their background, whether that be cultural difference, racial difference, socioeconomic, or religious difference. Kelly is committed to ensuring that our students' needs are met. That just inspires me to show up every day with an energy and a passion. I'm honored to be in this role. I don't take it for granted. And I just want to make sure that we do the work that we're called to do. And the fact that we're both women doing it together adds a really unique flavor to it. I think we share this really special role that we both have, and that's the role of mother. So we bring that nurturing component, but we also see the bigger picture and how our children are being formed to go out and change the world. My children are deep into their adulthood, so I have the opportunity to reflect on what happened for them here. And how do I want that to be improved upon? How do I want that to be different? Kelly's position is a little different. Her children are younger, and so she's looking at it through a slightly different lens. But collectively, we see the rich history and the future and how that merges and what's our responsibility in that.
You know, listening to the both of you, it's so clear to me that in your unique roles, you really both share the heart of an educator, you know, of an Ignatian educator, that regardless of the task at hand or the piece of your job that you're working on, that's really feels like, as I listen to you, like what you lead with. And to think about what I just heard, you know, that thinking of the question of how has the first been for you, the first female in your role, you know, to hear the words pride, in integrity with vocation, natural, support, partnership, alignment with mission, showing up, strong female role models. I mean, it's really, there's something special there, and it's an indication that you are doing what you're meant to do. So thank you for sharing that. I'm curious. So you mentioned alumni reaction. What about colleagues and parents and students? Did it feel as natural with those communities as well?
There was a moment during the installation, Kelly's installation in December. I didn't witness this, but it was shared with us later, about a young woman, one of our students, who shared with a faculty member near her, "I feel like I can do anything now." And I think that says it all. That for that young woman, she saw what Kelly is doing, perhaps what we are doing together, and something resonated within her that there should be no barrier. And certainly gender should never be a barrier to a goal or an aspiration. That's just one example. I have felt enormous support throughout my career from various constituencies, stakeholders. And more recently, in the transition between presidents, there was a faith that lived within people, a faith that we were capable, but not like capable, desiring the opportunity to lead and to move the institution forward. So from my vantage point, I think the response has been very strong and very positive.
Yeah, I agree. I think we have extraordinary colleagues. They've been incredibly supportive, patient, even visionary with Cindy and I. So colleagues have been amazing. Our parents have really rallied with excitement. I'm sure that, for example, I wasn't everyone's choice. But again, I think that one of the things we've done really well in this community is reminding people that we are one. We come together as one. Parents have been extraordinary. And I think they're very supportive of strong leadership. And they want Cindy and I to be successful. And parents desire, when they send their children and work so hard to send their kids and choose Catholic Jesuit education, they want strong leadership that they can trust and that they know is visionary and that they know is meeting the needs of their kids, and that this education will take them on as lifelong learners. So I think that has been really, really positive. I think Cindy and I are very blessed in that space. I also want to name that I think that many men were very courageous and strong this past year and a half, and made some bold decisions around an institution that, as Cindy mentioned, was an all-boys school up until the mid-70s, has deep roots of being an all-boys school. That's part of our history. So I want to acknowledge that I think many generations of men made courageous decisions around the future of Bellerin. And I think they stand very proud of Cindy and I and our work ahead of us. But that's part of the story too. At the end of the day, I think they feel that it's about the best person in the position. But as women, we bring unique assets around collaboration, relational leadership. Cindy brings a deep experience at Bellerman. I bring the experience of having Cindy as my boss and having been on administration before, but also working very broadly in education, from the classroom to policy. We bring a lot of trust in our partnership. We don't lead with a lot of ego. We're purposeful, we're intentional, but we're not egocentric in that way. So I think we bring a skill set together that really complements each other, but is also very needed for this time in Bellerman Prep's history here in Tacoma.
Well, and it sounds so connected both in your partnership and your team, and then also to the community. I think too, when you feel in very real, meaningful ways, as you describe, when you feel that support from the people that you support, you know, that's really the best formula for taking and moving a school forward in all the ways that are bold and visionary. So as I listen to you, it connects so much to the people that you described that made the decision to go co-ed, that made the decisions to hire the both of you and so on. So I appreciate that. You were both obviously very prepared for your roles, but what has surprised you? What's been something that you felt like you weren't expecting, perhaps?
You know, it wasn't very long ago that Cindy and I were in Arizona together at a gathering for presidents and principals. And at the very end of our time together, the principals gathered and the presidents gathered. And the same question was sort of asked. And I wasn't the only female president there, but by the end of the session, my colleague had left early. So I was there in a circle and this question surfaced. And the first thing that came to mind for me is benefactors, those that financially support our school and their absolute commitment to administration, to faculty, to staff, and to the mission of Bellerman. And I think it's just a different viewpoint. It's not that I didn't feel supported as an administrator on the school side under Cindy, I did. But you have such a different perspective in the president's office. You get to see things differently. And Cindy served as interim president. And so one of the really significant advantages we have is that she knows that she got a flavor of what it means to sit in the president's office. And I think that is just a wonderful kind of asset to our partnership. And I certainly have spent many years working very closely with principals and running a school myself. So I think we have an understanding of that, which is really nice. But it's really the support of benefactors and what goes on behind the scenes, kind of externally, to keep this community really strong has not only just been surprising, it has been absolutely humbling to see the volumes of people coming forward, picking up the phone, checking in, and making sure that we are off to a strong start. It just really is. It's a place of absolute humility and excitement, but also surprise to see the volume and the sheer commitment and the intensity around that. It's been a joy.
I don't think it's a surprise, but I have been just really in awe of how easy it has been to work together. I've had the privilege of working for four presidents at Bellerman, and each has been unique and an incredible blessing. In this particular instance, and perhaps the exposure to the president's role helped, but I've been really struck by the ease of this relationship, in our ability to have difficult conversations and walk away feeling good about our decisions. That has been really a blessing. It's not easy. A president-principal model is not easy, but it's made easier when you develop a communication style with one another that is strong and brave and leads to really important decisions that betters the institution. So I don't know if it's a surprise, but it's really struck me on how important that has been.
And you both remind me of the complexities of the roles that you sit in. You know, I think sometimes in our schools and small communities, we all kind of feel like we understand what our colleagues are doing and working on. And like we have a snapshot view of what makes up their role, but you never really know it until you sit in it. And we did at the JSN, we did a great virtual session, Ignatian Inquiry session, a couple weeks ago with Mike Wood, who is the principal from Jesuit Sacramento. And he talked about the role of principal. And one of the things that came through was exactly that, was just that you really don't understand it until you sit in it. And I think I can hear that from what both of you are saying, you know, even with a long and rich history in education. So that's a reminder. And then thinking of how both of you have connected on that, I appreciate that. So when I knew that we were going to have this conversation today and I was going to get to speak with both of you, I've had kind of swimming around in my mind two pieces of research that we've explored quite a bit around the JSN having to do with women leaders in our schools. And the first is from Dr. Maura Toome Estevez, who is now back at Regis in New York City. And she explored in her research from Creighton pathways to leadership of female presidents. So I've been very interested in that. And again, listening to your backgrounds at the start of our talk today, even more so. So as you think about your path professionally, personally, that's led you to this moment, what was important to you as a leader? What has allowed you to feel like you can say yes to these big roles in your schools?
I was really raised in a boys' world. I have four brothers. There were lots of extras around, but usually more boys. I have four boys. I learned very early on how to navigate a boys' world successfully. And I would say that is part of my story, because up until recently in my career, most of my opportunities have come from really strong, amazing men who opened doors for me and let me rip and roar and trusted me and gave me stretch assignments. And when I would look at them and say, how are we going to do this? They'd look back at me and say, you'll figure this out. So the first thing that comes to mind, one, is trusting myself in vocation. Especially, I think we all have the ups and downs of any career. For me, it's never been a career. It's always been a vocation. I've always prayed for that. That's been what I want in my life, is for God to just put me where I can be of use. And I mean that honestly with all my heart. That's been my life's prayer. I mean that as a mom. I mean that as a wife. I mean that as a girlfriend, as a sister, as a daughter. And there were years that felt hard. There were years that felt hard. And I wondered, you know, they felt definitely like more like the desert. And then coming out of those years were always years of great excitement and purpose. I feel that the career has continued to only get stronger. But what comes to mind for me are those incredible leaders that opened the door, encouraged me, reminded me that I was enough and that I could do this and that I could go out in front and that I could be bold, and that when I turned around, there would be somebody there supporting me. And I think for any woman to grow in her career, that is necessary. It's just as necessary if it all goes wrong and we fail forward, that we're just right there. We're all right there. And there's somebody there to catch you and help you learn from all of those components so you learn forward. So those stretch assignments, those leaders, those mentors who see you and believe in you and your ability to pay that forward, whether it be to future female leaders or male leaders, is really, really important. So for me, I feel like part of the story of the career is just those stretch assignments and having those moments of like, wow, we went way further than I ever imagined. It was all because of a deep belief in what we were doing. Many doors were opened up, lots of exposure. And then that just keeps opening more doors. I think the most important piece of that is to bring people with you, is to bring people with you. And so the other thread for me outside of stretch assignments has been collaboration. I love being part of a team. I have been a part of a team many times over where I was not the one out in front. I might have been the one making most of it happen, but I wasn't the one out in front. getting all the claim in the name has never been my drive. I'm happy to do it if that's what the position requires and demands and needs. But I have played many different roles on the team. What I love is deep collaboration, being in mission, having that goal. I love it when people question, is this possible? Can you do really think you're going to do this? Do you think you can accomplish this? That drives me when I know that we can. So I think the other thread is that collaboration, partnership. In particular, I think women are extraordinary at that. I think we are wired for that. We're built for that. And when you get the right leaders in a room, I think most things are sort of unstoppable if the timing's right. So those are the two things that show up for me as far as a career pathway. Having the discipline to trust myself and listen with vocation. Being willing to say yes to stretch assignments. Being really grateful to those leaders who open those doors. And then really being vulnerable enough, strong enough, willing enough, being a learner enough to truly collaborate and demonstrate partnerships at a new level. Those have been threads in my career.
You're really describing, Kelly, something that I think is at the root of all that we do in Jesuit schools, which is being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And what a motivator that is by itself. You know, and also the power of the personal invitation, the idea of relationships is integral to learning, our students learning, but to us as well. So thank you for that. What about you, Cindy?
Well, as I'm listening to Kelly, I can't help but think about kind of the journey to Catholic education. When I was asked to fill the position back in 1984, and the first person I told was my mother, who was a deeply Catholic woman. And if she could have jumped through the phone and hugged me, she would have. There are many women in my life who've modeled strength, perseverance, tenacity. She was one of them. But during my time of kind of education and discovery of where I wanted to go, there weren't a lot of role models in roles like this. But similar to Kelly, there were so many people, men and women, who inspired, encouraged, and pushed. I don't think it was my deep desire to be a principal. It happened, and I was open to it, and I've not regretted the decision. But it wasn't an aspiration. It was more of an inspiration from others that led me to this position. There are so many more opportunities for young women today than ever before. I think the most important thing we can do is really encourage our students, particularly our female students, to always lean into who you are, to never forget the beautiful things that come with being a woman, and to not ever let anyone tell you that you can't do something because of your gender, your cultural, ethnic identity. And I think about the people who have done that for me. The former principal always encouraged and empowered me to take on new roles to help me build the skill set to be a principal. Those are moments when you look back, you realize how important they were, but maybe in that moment, it didn't seem that significant. But the collective nature of all of them, it really does make you pause and realize that God's work is present. And none of this is ever a mistake. It was very purposeful. It was part of his vision and direction for us. We just had to be brave enough to listen and respond.
And to be open to it. And our work is so personal. You know, it's so personal. It's such a part of who we are as humans. And it's just, that's beautiful. It's beautiful to listen to. And you really bridged what the second piece of research that I interested in. It's my own that I have worked on, kind of the experience of role modeling, of being one of the few females in the room. You know, my own experiences predominantly at boys' schools and so on. But I'm very interested in the idea of the ways in which the both of you at the helm of the school, with wonderful support from all the community I know, but the two of you on the stage, the ways in which you role model that for the students that are in your care. And so thinking about that, you know, you said, you spoke about the young woman at the installation mass who said, I can do anything. You talked about the different roles that you have in your lives, you know, a friend and mom and colleague and daughter and wife and, you know, whatever it might be. But thinking about the real ways, tangible ways that you both serve as role models to the kids at Bellarmine, how do you see that coming to life? Like, can you, it's obviously in the air there, folks are talking about it. How do students see it? How do they respond?
Well, with me, they definitely see a mom who's, I'm in the midst of it. You know, I have four boys. I have a sophomore here currently. I have a son coming next year. I have a current fifth grader and a current second grader. I'm a coach in the community with my little guy. There's a lot that my husband and I do with where we live and in the Tacoma area because we're passionate about strengthening the community and making sure that this is the best place for all kids and all families to thrive. So I think it's a unique time and it's a great question because I think you're right, Kristen, that our students today are seeing two female leaders in a very real, multifaceted way. You know, there's no pretending. I drive a large 12-person van. It's hideous. But I have a German Shepherd and I have four boys
and four boys.
And I like to say yes when somebody needs a ride and we have extras. That's a rule for me in life. So, you know, we're having this very holistic experience and it comes with complexities, but it also comes with some authenticity. And there's so much power in authenticity and not pretending to be something we're not. One of the things I was most proud of after the installation, there was a celebration on the water, on the Sound, the Puget Sound, which was wonderful. And it was a celebration, you know, of the new presidency. But one of the things the vice chair of the board said was, and she's a mother. And she's a mother. And he tied that to my leadership. And I'm so proud of that because it's true. It's true for fathers, too. But we should talk about it more often. We should research it more often because we are better leaders. I don't care what sector you're leading in because we parent and because we're in the struggle of parenting and we're all doing our very best. But I'm sure most of us feel like we come up a little bit short most of the time, you know?
Of course.
And we need to tell that story too. So I think that they're seeing that and they're seeing a president who's more than just the president in an office, you know? And I think that's healthy and that's true and it's dynamic. And I know most of the students currently because I was in an administrative role that really straddled being with the students, walking with the students and administration. It won't always be that way. But right now I'm trying to stay really present to the fact that as I watch students outside my office window now, I know who most of them are. It's a beautiful thing. So they walked with me into the presidency office. This current student body took my hand and they walked with me. And that's part of our story here this year. The students were a part of this. So yeah, I do. I think it's unique. I think it's different. And I think it's beautiful. And I'm anything but a perfectionist. I'm okay with messy. I'm okay with complex. And I think when you are authentic, you know, there's a quote I keep in front of me that Cindy put on a card for me a while back. And I keep it in front of me and I read it every day. And it reminds me very specifically about what it means to be a Jesuit educator, regardless of the role we play within that. And it says, Ignatian leadership is marked by humility, hope, authenticity, a profound sense of purpose, and discernment. And I love that. I think in all of the roles I play, that's what I aspire to. I aspire to that.
No, I think you're describing, you know, cura personalis. We talk about cura personalis with our students and the whole person, but you're really describing us as educators, as professionals, bringing our whole self to our place of work, you know, that is so deeply personal to us and sharing our whole selves and allowing others to see that. And that is certainly something special, something unique.
I think for me, it's taking every moment that's presented to you and walking with students. Earlier this year, I attended the Girls Encounter. For some schools, it's a Kairos. And, you know, sitting in the cabin with the girls, and I had to first identify that I'm, you know, I'm a woman just like you. And for right now, for this weekend, let's not focus on my role or your role or the age difference. Let's just be women together. Those are special moments to be with students. Or on a service trip where you have your boots on and your shovel and you are digging into some work. It doesn't mean anything other than you are humble enough to walk beside them and to serve them. Or walking into a situation and discovering a student that's in tears and you're not sure of the basis for it, but just being there with them and finding support. I think those are moments where they get to see your true self, your heart. And I try to lead with a humble servant heart, but they have to see it. You can't just tell them. You have to show it. So looking for those moments when they can see that present in you is really important to me.
So it's so clear to me how your leadership has sparked, kind of enlightened greater depth in the mission at Bellarmine. I mean, that's woven through everything that you've shared today. When you think back to just starting out in your careers, you know, and you think to perhaps the young women that are out there now listening to this around the JSN and beyond, what would you say to those young female educators who are just being introduced to Jesuit schools? What might you whisper in their ears at this stage of their career?
To be bold and brave, to never lose sight of what God's plan is for you, to listen with a humble heart, to move into moments that are challenging, grab a hold of someone who you might need to lean on, but don't let go of your hope for yourself. And just know that the Lord is walking with you. That would be, I think, my message to any students, but particularly young women who may come from a place of less certainty about who they are. You know, I often use the word when I'm talking with parents, the look of wonder on the faces of students is what inspires me. This look of, I wonder who I will become. I wonder what this experience will bring for me. That is the most beautiful thing a student can bring to us, is that look of wonder. And we know that we have resources to support them to discover, but it's really the heart that they bring that allows them to be successful.
There's few things I believe in more than Catholic education, and to be at a Catholic Jesuit school is just the greatest privilege. And to be at Bellarmine is just so on purpose. But I came to Jesuit school later in my career, you know. Unlike Cindy, she's had her career in Jesuit education. I was on the margins. I did juvenile justice, child welfare, really working in nearly all of my work was underserved populations. And so I would say, trust so deeply your purpose. Keep listening. Keep getting good at listening. But trust yourself and surround yourself around women who bring out the best in you and who challenge you, but who see you and know your essence and know your worth. I think so much of it for young women, and Cindy mentioned all the different ways here that we get to walk with our young women, which is so important that they see us walking with them, is that they need to know that they are worthy, that they're enough, that they'll keep growing, that when the challenges come, the solutions, even the hard times, the failures, everything's going to be okay, you know, and to keep good company. But, you know, I said earlier in the podcast, trust deeply the vocation, trust that inner voice, and stay in the work of authenticity, stay in the work of humility and prayer, and stay in the work of how to keep good company. And then lastly, I would say this idea that is so not in the secular world is discernment. How do we, as women who are so busy, and if you're in my life stage, there's not a lot of breathing room, how do you become a very discerning person? Because through discernment comes clarity and wisdom and strength. And young women need that today. They need to be less distracted. And in order for that to happen, they're going to have to lean into prayer and discernment and know how to do that. And that's part of our calling, is to teach them how to do that. Those things are going to matter as they take their path.
I think that's probably the best challenge for all of us, for those listening, you know, for all of us in terms of our hopes for how Jesuit educators can build on the glass ceiling that you have broken here. You know, I knew when I first heard about your team at the end of last year, with Kelly's appointment, I knew that I wanted to talk to you, you know, to pick your brain and to hear about your experience with some time in partnership under your belt. And so I'm so thankful that we did. I had the experience of being on a female academic team, you know, as the first female principal and with a female dean of students and a female dean of academics, assistant principal. And so I kind of walked that experience myself, and to hear yours on the opposite end of the country, right, with so much in common, but so different as well, to think about the first female president and principal team at a legacy school, it's really remarkable. And it's a reminder of how far we've come, how far we still, you know, can be challenged to go. But I'm grateful for your time. I really am. I think you are setting a standard to which we can all aspire. You know, as we listen to the themes that came up from our conversation, the pride and support, the strength and the being open to all of it, I'm really grateful. I'm not sure if the two of you have had an opportunity to sit down and reflect. I doubt it, right? No one has as much time as you'd like in the midst of your work, but we're thankful for all of your time today.
Thank you. It was such a joy and such wonderful thought-provoking questions for all of us to learn from and keep reflecting on as a Jesuit network.
Right. You know, there's a quote that I keep on my desk from St. Ignatius that says, whatever you are doing, that which makes you feel most alive is where God is. And I think about just what's emanating from both of you in this conversation is how alive you feel in your work. So thank you for sharing it with the JSN.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ignatian Inquiry Podcast. You can find contact information for Dr. Goodsell and Ms. Davis on JSN's website at www.jesuitschoolsnetwork.org/Ignatian-Inquiry-Podcast. The Ignatian Inquiry Podcast is hosted by Dr. Kristen Ross Cully. This episode was recorded, edited, and produced by Kristen Smith and directed by Dr. Kristen Ross Cully. To learn more about the Jesuit Schools Network, please visit www.jesuitschoolsnetwork.org. Stay curious and set the world on fire.